If the election of Donald Trump was an earthquake, his accomplishments since are the aftershocks no one saw coming. From best-selling author Stephen E. Strang comes Trump Aftershock, the president's seismic impact on culture and faith in America. Trump Aftershock offers unique insights that will cut through the media noise and reveal what they won't tell you. Gain a better understanding of the political, emotional, and spiritual dimensions at work in Trump Aftershock. Available where fine books are sold.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, this is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. I am so excited about my new book, which comes out in just a couple of weeks. It's called Trump Aftershock, and it's about all the aftershocks that have come since the historic election of this very, very unlikely president, Donald J. Trump. And I hope you'll go to the website and check out a fantastic trailer about the book. You can get some free stuff if you pre-order. And I hope you will pre-order. You can pre-order from several different retailers. And when you get a confirmation code, you fill it in a certain form. And then we will send you a free electronic version of the book, Trump Aftershock. You'll also get a 12-month subscription to Charisma Magazine, the magazine that I founded in 1975 and still is reporting on spirit-led living, giving you insight into the work of the Holy Spirit all around the world. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. Now, recently, I was on a program with my very good friend, Bishop Harry R. Jackson, Jr., and we talked about President Trump. We talked about some of the racial issues in our country. We talked about the upcoming elections, and I thought it was a very good interview, and I asked them if they would let me take the audio and to play it as one of my podcasts. So without further ado, here is the interview. They didn't really tell me when it's going to air other than it'll air before the election, but you can hear it here on the Strang Report. So thank you for listening today and enjoy this.
Welcome to Rise Up America. We're here to talk about the state of America, the cultural impact that we're having. We're also going to talk about politics in a manner of speaking, but we want to look at it from a prophetic perspective. And I believe that God is speaking to America. There's an agenda he wants to promote. It's not a black or white agenda or some kind of Democrat versus Republican agenda, but it's God's own understanding of righteousness and justice. I'm Dr. Harry Jackson, Jr. To my right is Pastor Charles Flowers from San Antonio, Texas. And further beyond him, Steve Strang from here in Orlando, Florida, and he's a publisher of Charisma Magazine and many other major publishing organizations and companies. We're here to perhaps open your eyes to what's going on. The Bible says something very interesting. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to about 8, it talks about the wicked man, and then it talks about the blessed man. And essentially, it says the wicked man's eyes are closed to what God is doing, but the blessed man is open. So verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. He shall not see when heat cometh. And it goes on to talk about all these things, the wicked and the blessed man. Ultimately, it says, verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Mm-hmm. Save me, and I will be saved. I want to apply this to America. Heal us, O Lord, Amen. And we will be healed. Save us as a nation, and we'll be saved. So let's begin to talk a little bit about where we are morally, spiritually, the political ramifications. Charles Flowers, is there something you want to insert here at this juncture?
Well, yes, I think, you know, we're dealing with a complex world, and we're in the midst of identity politics, trying to take particularly African Americans and transcribe the way African Americans think and how they are supposed to think politically and how they're supposed to think in terms of social issues.
Mm-hmm.
And any African-American that thinks differently than that is classed by the powers that be, the Don Lemons and Van Joneses of the world,
mm-hmm.
as to not be authentically black.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. I mean, who invested within a few personalities in the black community authority to define what the whole of the community should think and feel politically? Now, you have the whole media system that jumps on the back of those presumptions
mm-hmm.
and pushes them. And anybody else who thinks anything different, it's like herd thought. If we think like the herd, we're great. If we think outside of the herd, somehow you have suddenly become an Uncle Tom. You now somebody else's house Negro, as was Kanye West labeled not many days ago by the
Power Media. Jump in here.
Yeah.
Maybe a history lesson is apropos. And I'm only an amateur historian, but I've studied this because it's so important. And we don't know our history. The Democratic Party, and let me say, first of all, I was a Democrat myself here in Florida for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very happy with the Republican Party. I don't even identify myself as a Republican, even though here in Florida you have to sort of register one or the other. I say I'm a conservative. But mm-hmm. the Democratic Party, going all the way back to Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, they were slave holders. The mm-hmm. Republican Party, which replaced the Whig Party,
mm-hmm.
was founded to get rid of slavery in 1856. Mm-hmm. We fought a bloody civil war to free mm-hmm. the slaves. It was the Democrats who fought to keep slavery. Even the ones in the North wanted to make peace with the Confederacy.
Yes.
I mean, think what that would have ended up with.
Right.
In the South, the whole South went Democrat because it was rejection of the Republicans.
Yeah.
And it was like that up until maybe Richard Nixon or along in sometime in there. And what happened was, even with the Jim Crow laws, every single Jim Crow law was mm-hmm. passed by a Democratic legislature, signed by a Democratic governor. And we tend to forget that. It tended to flip with FDR to some extent mm-hmm. and more with Lyndon Baines Johnson and the Civil Rights Bill.
Yes.
And the Civil Rights Act in 1964 was very, very important. And
wonderful.
But since then, it's like because of that. But you know what? A lot of Republicans had to vote for that. They would not have gotten it passed without Republican support.
Right.
But for some reason, there was like this mindset that, you know, the irony is that Martin Luther King himself was a Republican up until the day he died, the day he was killed.
Well, what you're saying is very enlightening. But what we have here, folks, is a simple understanding of the scripture. It says the wicked man is under a curse. The curse starts in his mind. The blessed man is under the blessing of the Lord so that he can perceive and, in a sense, prophetically interpret the circumstances around us. So what we've got now is that we've got folks on various networks trying to tell us how to think. And the real question for us is whether the thought processes of the culture that's encapsulating African-Americans, Hispanics, and many large segments of America are inspired by godliness or darkness. Now, I want to speak to the heart of folk. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to say is going to make some people mad, because we're dealing in an age in which Christianity is the new black. When I was growing up, they used to not like big black people. And so I was in the 60s, I was big, I was black, therefore everybody said, you have to be dumb, you gotta be stupid, because, and we couldn't get the right jobs. Years ago in Washington, D.C. area, at Dunbar High School, they'd have a brown paper bag that they'd put up next to your face. If you were lighter than the brown paper bag, you know, this brownish paper bag, then all of a sudden, you could go to this school and study. It's presumed you're going to be smart. There's no entrance exam given. If you were darker than the brown paper bag, then you were too chocolate to stay around. That same kind of herd mentality, excuse me, is affecting us today. I want us to talk about application of these kinds of things. You think, both of you, that we have this herd mentality, forgive me, coughing a little bit, and you think that it's trying to lead our community to bad choices and to a framework of thinking that's really anti what the interests of black people are. So what other kinds of things are is the culture telling us you can't do? You can't be black and be pro-conservative. You can't be a communist.
You know, the series, kind of a series of, am I still black if?
Okay.
That kind of defines whether or not you meet what the normative thought is around black people. So am I still black if I watch Fox?
Okay, am I still Fox News?
Yes, okay. Am I still black if I watch Fox News? Am I still black if I don't immortalize slavery and the atrocities associated with it?
Okay, what do you mean immortalize slavery?
I think there's two. I think we can take a page from our Jewish brothers in that they took the atrocities of the Holocaust,
right,
and they memorialized it.
Right.
There's a Holocaust museum.
Yep.
And there's a statement, two words that kind of define, we acknowledge that historically took place, but we're not going to cycle around it forever. Mm-hmm. And those two words were never again. It's just never again. That we operate with this in mind, but we're not going back here.
Okay, so
nor are we going to try to keep this thing alive and talk about the Germans for the rest of our lives and talk about, you know, whoever else was in this structure that tried to terminate us as a people. The Jews could stand and yell about that day and night if they wanted to.
Okay.
But they didn't. They memorialized it and then moved on from it. A lot of what happens in black communities is that we immortalize. Mm-hmm. The atrocities associated with slavery. We never let them die. So there's always blaming the white guy. There's always blaming somebody else. There's always the system that is aligned against us. And I'm not discrediting the reality of any of those things.
Right.
I'm saying that there has to be something within us as a people that's greater than those things.
Okay.
You know, another thing about the Jewish people, if you think about it, they were slaves. 400 years.
430 years.
In fact, they celebrate Passover, as we know. However, there is no concept in the Jewish community that they're ex-slaves. They have moved on. In the black community, there's a very strong feeling that we're ex-slaves. And, you know, maybe it'll take several millennia to work that through. But I think, you know, you said you can learn from the Jewish community. And I think that that is a lesson that can be learned as well.
Well, that's an interesting kind of thing. We're going to move on to another topic in just a second. But driving while looking in your rearview mirror will get you into trouble.
Yes.
And I was recently in a wreck. And during the time of the wreck, it was raining. I couldn't see going forward. And as I was driving through an intersection, a person stopped at the side, decided to come through the intersection. Unfortunately, right before he came out and hit me, I happened to look around, couldn't see anything. I looked down for a moment, and boom, I got hit. So where we focus our attention in trying to live our lives or progress in life makes a difference. So this whole political thing, operating in herd mentality, is not working. What else should African-Americans be thinking about during this election season? Are there any other things that we should be wary of, like just calling Mr. Trump 45, or what would you say?
Right. There's a whole lot of issues. I'll just take a stab at another one that we may talk about at length later. But blacks represent about 12.85% of the population in America.
Okay.
The black population is responsible for over 33% of abortions in America.
Right.
Planned Parenthood centers are located in the middle of or near minority communities.
Right.
And from its originator, Margaret Sanger, the whole goal of it Mm-hmm. You see, they could not consciously take blacks after slavery, line them up, shoot them, and dump them in a mass grave. So they had to terminate them another way, a more palatable, a more acceptable way. There's no less damaging in terms of, a genocidal attempt, but it's more palatable. We don't line you up and shoot you, throw you in a big hole. We just encourage you that the pregnancy that you are now in is a result of poverty conditions, and it's a result of other things. And so now it's become an inconvenience, and you now need to, move on with your lives.
Okay.
To the degree that 33% of the abortions is now being produced by a little more than 12% of the population.
Well, that's a good point. We're going to come back to a whole nother post, and we're going to come and talk about this Facebook Live. What about Black Lives Matter from this perspective? And we'll go into that deeper too. But is there such a thing as white privilege? What do you say? Are whites privileged? People are talking about this. It shapes political understanding. We want to talk about all these kind of issues. Do you think there's such a thing as white privilege in America?
Well, there are people who are privileged, obviously.
Yes.
People who are wealthier, who have education.
Yeah.
But is it a racial thing? I mean, both of you are doing very well, thank you.
Watch it.
You have a degree from Harvard University.
Yes.
I mean, how more privileged can you be than that? But there are people that want class warfare. This has happened all over the world, especially where socialists get in. They try to get the classes to war against each other.
Yeah.
But there are an awful lot of white people who have no privilege. Go to Appalachia and talk to some of those people. And of course, we have trailer parks down here in Florida where the standard of living is not very good.
Well, I think it's important for us to mention, and we're going to get a few seconds from you on this, that there are disadvantages to being black and Hispanic. And I think that saying that there's white privilege is not an attempt to take something away from whites. It should be an attempt to say, hey, some of us need a little bit of help. But back to his original point, if I get stuck on blaming someone instead of having strategies of how to overcome. You think about it this way. Ben Carson became a famous neurosurgeon because his mother refused to say his learning disability had to stop him, that his color couldn't stop him, where he was raised couldn't stop him. He chose to be a winner. So I think these are issues, folks, that we're going to talk about. Also want to remind you that November 5th, the Monday before the midterm election, we're going to have an amazing event called Rise Up. America is an intercessory prayer conference all day long from 9 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. We're going to pray. We're going to be seeking God. The Bible is the answer. Republicanism, democratism, if you will, is not really the answer.
That's right.
The answer is the Word of God applied to our lives and having Almighty God come and bless America. But I believe the renewing of our mind, according to the Word of God, will release a prophetic perspective that will cause us to be blessed and not cursed. So listen to me as you're listening. Am I a Republican on steroids? What am I? What is Harry Jackson? What is Charles Flowers? No, I think we are biblically informed Christians who believe that there's a biblically inspired agenda. And sometimes we got to call out the Republicans. Other times we got to call out the Democrats.
Yes.
But God's got something he's backing in America. Do you know what it is? Thank you for your time. Listen to us again tomorrow. We're going to take on these topics one by one. Thank you, Charles Flowers. Thank you, Stephen Strang.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.